Morav Rabbi said lessons from the late Parshas Mishpatim. Why should I care? It's a very interesting, I hope, topic about Alina Latova. We dedicate tonight's learning. Lazech Nishmas Itamar Ben Gal Hashem Yikam Damo, who was murdered earlier this afternoon, a few hours ago. And as your new Madrich said, I was very touched by his words, because he basically segued my whole shir, being margishet, feeling the suffering and the pain when one of our children dying, when they're murdered. It's very difficult, because now they're merging the pictures for children, a wonderful family, the Hanukkah pictures, and we have to think about it. There's actually a picture out, Nebuch, I believe he was a relative of Rav Raziel, who passed away a few weeks ago as well. So we continue to think about this difficult situation. The Rabbanu Shalom should give nechama to their family, as a little bit the Raziel family felt. Beautiful video that I saw today of Rav Drukman making the bracha of Baruch Mesiv Gvul Almana, making the town that he lived in into an official, legal, recognized town. She continues to have nechama, and I think really that's the purpose of today's shiur, is to talk about the concept of feeling other people's pain, feeling other people's joy. So at the end of the parasha, not my usual, but I was going through the parasha and I found this to be quite beautiful. We know the parasha is quite long, and there's many dinim, as Rav Boaz just pointed out. The Torah Tumim is filled. You can spend a good deal of time going through all the Maamri Chazal, all the Gemaras, and Bava Metzia, Bava Kamas, and everything going on. And at the end, so we learn of a sad situation, what will be in future parshos, of the incident of Nadav the Avihu. We see a nevuah, a redo of the Reed Beis HaNetarim, if you will, the Korbanos. And it says, Vayal Moshe V'Aaron Nadav the Avihu V'Shivim Mizkenei Yisrael V'Yiru Es Elokei Yisrael V'Tachas Raglav K'masei Livanat ha-sapir u'ke'etzem ha-shamayim l'tahir. So Moshe now goes up with Nadav and Avihu in the 70 Zekanim, and they saw, what did they see? Very interesting, right? The God of Israel. And under his feet was this sapphire brick, and like the appearance of heavenly purity. So Rashi comments and explains what exactly went on there, so we won't go into the great detail of, did they actually see the Rabbanu Shalom? Don't we know that? What is this going on? In this Taklu, they looked, they cast a glance, and that's why they were deserving of death. Was it only another review? What happened over here? They're a chayav, and then they waited until the inauguration of the Mishkan to kill them. But I wanted to comment on what they saw. The Torah tells us that they saw a brick, and this heavenly appearance of purity. Says Rashi, based on Vayikra Rabba, actually, based on the Midrash, in the Midrash says as follows. K'maisi levanot ha-sapir, hi haita lefanav, it was in front of the Rabbanu Shalom, b'shas ha-shibud. The Rabbanu Shalom had this brick in front of him during the entire time that the Jews were enslaved in Egypt. Lizikaron, lizkor, so that he, kibiyachol, that he would remember tzarosim shel Yisrael. He would remember the pain of Israel. Shayu mishubadim kemase levenim. Because they were enslaved and had to work with bricks. And, he says, what does it mean? Uke etzem hashamayim letaher. The appearance of the heavens of purity. Kishine galu. When the Jews were let out. Haya or V'chedva lifanav, the Rabbanu Shalom had light and gladness before him. Both quoting Vayikra Rabba Rashi does. So, Rav, in Das Torah, Rav Yeruchim Lovavitz explains what is the message over here. So he said, any time that there is some sort of heavenly image that is given, which is difficult for us to understand, and unfortunately we generally refer to movies when we think about God, which is of course incorrect. So he writes, it is to show the attributes of God for the purpose to teach us to emulate them. Famous idea of Rav Soloveitchik, we all talk about by Elzman, talk about by Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Atat Medeo, to imitate the Ribbono Shalom. Afu Rachum Avatar Chanun, Rachum Ato Chanun Ato Chanun, right? The Ribbono Shalom, we say the 13 attributes of the Ribbono Shalom, that's the way we should act. You want God to have mercy on you? Do you have mercy on other people? So he says that's the purpose of it, to be like Hashem, to emulate the Hashem. And says Rav Yeruchim, do we feel the suffering of Klal Yisrael? Or is it suffering in the abstract? Oh, I feel bad. I heard what happened today. I feel bad. Or do we take it so much so, kibiyachol derbono shalom, having a brick, right? Imagine his, your foot's on the brick the whole time, saying, I remember my brothers and sisters, they're suffering now in Egypt. And so too, says Rav Yeruchim, the same type of suffering that we felt when others are suffering is the same joy the Ribbono Shel Olam had when they had joy. It was actually the vehicle of this joy was through the vehicle of suffering. Meaning, when they had the ultimate joy of the Geula, they reminded themselves of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of what Yitzias Mitzrayim was before, what was Shibud Mitzrayim. In fact, that's our whole Pesach Seder. It's not enough for us to remember and say tonight's the night that we remind ourselves of what? Of getting out of Mitzrayim. This is the night that we had singing and dancing and the splitting of the Red Sea is going to come later on and it's going to be great. It's wonderful. No! Abadim hayinu lefar b'Mitzrayim. The anchor point v'yagat levincha b'yomahu is to say when your son says manishtana laylas and mikol alelos, you say abadim hayinu. We were avadim in Mitzrayim. We had suffering. It's to give us greater appreciation for the joy. The joy came through the suffering. It reminds me of a beautiful Beis Halevi, which we might have used here, which Rav Soloveitchik expounds upon. It's so beautiful. He quotes the idea two weeks ago. Az Yashir, the Az, is Mechaper for the Az where Moshe Rabbeinu says, Az, since the time that I took over, back in Shmos, things only got worse. He had a lack of emunah, so he's mechaper. The Beis Halevi goes on to say, Rav Soloveitchik expounds upon this, what his great-grandfather wrote, and says, oh yeah, he says, it's actually through the vehicle of our suffering that we experience the most joy. That's what Hallel is. Rav Soloveitchik speaks about Hallel HaGadol, and he says, Hallel HaGadol is on what? Why is it the biggest Hallel of any Hallel that there is? In fact, we say it at night, it's so... It's because of the suffering that we realize the joy. The vehicle that Ribbono Shel Olam had to make us suffer realized the greatest joy of having Hashem on our side all the time. And in fact, that's what the Eitz Yosef, I believe, says on, why does it say Al HaNisim? The Al HaMilchamos. Right? We'll read in a few weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, Purim. The Milchamos are something good. The Nisim, the flows, that's great. Choice, God save us, that's great. Milchamos? So he says, no, it's V'al Nechamas. Through the Milchama, we understood we were a vehicle of his Nisim. Nisim only come through suffering, he writes. Do I truly feel the suffering of my neighbor? Do I truly feel the joy of another person when things go good for them? Or do I not? Or is it just a game? Where it's, oh, Mazel Tov, it's wonderful. Is that really true? I'll give you an example. Today, in the minyan that I daven in, excuse me, I don't daven the yeshiva so much anymore. And so, in this minyan, it's a nice little minyan, but one thing you know, unfortunately, or fortunately, we always say tachanun. There's nothing happening in this place. Sometimes you can go to a minyan, you know, like if you go to, you know, I remember in Teaneck and Bnei Yeshurun, so you're almost never going to say tachanun. There's always a bris or a chassan, somebody's walking in, something's going on there. The sandik, the this or that. So all of a sudden today, they didn't say tachanun. It's Monday. Whoo, everybody's happy. Nobody's asking any questions. Maybe they made a mistake. They thought it was too much fun. I don't know. Everybody's like, no, what's going on? So I serve a little bit there as the gabbai. So the real gabbai, because he's reading the Torah, but he makes me be the gabbai. He says, call up the chas. Oh, the chasin. So I always make a point, because I didn't have to say tachanun. He saved me 5 minutes of my life. So I always make a point to go up to him. I'm sorry, it wasn't a chas. It was a bris. So I went up to him, mazel tov, you know, and he felt so bad. He's like telling me when the bris is. I was like, no, I want to be mishat. I want to be part of your simcha. I want to say that I'm happy. Maybe that's why I always thought of this. I'm sure I'm wrong about this, but this is just, you know, my the Tefillah Kehilchasa, the beautiful sefer on the halachos of Tefillah, has a really startling statement, in my opinion. He says that maybe, Ha'itochen doesn't really say maybe, he says, really, a chassan shouldn't go to shul during the entire Shabbos Mei Mishta. Because he says you're going to cause everybody not to say tachlin for a week. It's not right. Right? Can you imagine telling you somebody that? Right? Everybody's like, oh, I remember when I was a chassan, so I was had just moved in, I was davening for the week, I remember I was in B'nai Yishurin. So the first day I came in and I said, it was 8 o'clock minyan, and I said to the gabbai, you know, I'm a chassan, there's no tachlin. It's really nice, but today's Tuesday. Where are you going to be Thursday? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care about you right now. Right? The same thing. And then when I had my first son's bris, was also B'nai Yishurin, so I was davening the 8 o'clock minyan, so we made the bris early, made it at 7 o'clock. So he knew it was my son's bris. He came to me and he says, "No, maybe you should join us just for a few minutes at the 8 o'clock minyan, just to say hi, so they don't have to talk." So, you know, does he really feel my joy? Right? So he says, "You shouldn't say tzachar." I said, "Tfilah tzachar." So I said, "Well, what changed? What? I don't understand. I thought that was always the halacha that I didn't say tzachar." So maybe it's true. Maybe, l'tzareinu, we don't actually feel real joy for somebody. We don't feel the joy like a brother. Your brother, you feel, of course I'm not going to say tachron. My brother's son's bris is today. I would never say, how can I say tachron? Right? The same way, you know, a person can go ahead and see that somebody was murdered, right? And he's going to go ahead, he's going to go back to business as usual. He's going to go back watching whatever he's been watching. He's back not to go to night seder. He says to himself, you know what? I think this is a sign. I got to go to night seder tonight. I think this is a sign. I got to be strengthened my mitzvahs. It's going to be business as usual. Rachmano l'slan law aleinu. Don't even think about it. But if it was your brother, Rachmano l'slan, something happened to him. It's going to be business as usual. Chas v'shalom. You have to feel the tzar. Rav Ruchan finishes off with something startling. I think this is emes. Emes toiris emes. Listen to this. He said there are three types of businessmen. I know this is not business here, but it might as well be. There's one type of businessman who says, I have it all, and my friend lost it all. He says, this is the ultimate pleasure. There's no pleasure greater than this. I'm rich and my friend's not rich. Oh, there's no pleasure greater than that. Number two, he says, is the person who lost everything. My friend lost everything. I feel his pain. I feel his pain because we're in the same category. And if I lost everything and my friend has everything, there's no suffering gadol mizu. How can we say that? Do we really feel like a person, or Yerucham says that this is the way a businessman should react? Or when we're margish it, we have a job and somebody else, a Jew, doesn't have a job, the highest form of staka, how can I get him a job? What can I do? I feel terrible for the person. Not I feel terrible that I go up to him and talk to him, you know, a little bit more slow because I think there's something wrong with him that he doesn't have a job. Hi, how are you? I heard it. You don't have a job. I'm sorry for you. And he's like, why are you talking to me like that? Are you margish it? Do you feel it? I remember Yitzhak Cohen once gave Sichas Musar in YU. I always will remember this for the, you know, those that, when he came a few weeks ago. And he talked about being margish, feeling. He says, let me explain to you what it is to feel somebody suffering. He says, you go outside and it's freezing cold, right? In New York, it's cold like anything outside. It's 20 degrees. In the sun. And the guy's waiting for the bus. And you look at him and you go, Nebuch, this guy's from LA. And he's got no jacket. He didn't know about jackets in New York. And you see, he's freezing. He says, are you margish? Take off your coat. Then you'll be margish. You'll really feel for another Jew. Take and feel him. Feel what it feels like. Right? That's the idea. The Mira Rosh Yeshiva from Mir, original, Rav Yehuda Yehuda Finkel. So there was a time in the Mir Yeshiva where there was no food. Nebuch. They didn't know what to do. The Yeshiva wasn't able to raise money properly. So Rav Lezer Yehuda took off his fur coat that he got as a chassan from his father-in-law, and he said to the administrator of the Yeshiva, take this coat and sell it. So we could have food for the boys. So the administrator said, absolutely not, Rebbe, this is your coat, you're going to get sick, I can't. He says, you don't understand, he said. If my students can't eat, if they're hungry, I'm even cold wearing the coat. But if my students can eat, then I'm warm even without a coat. I'm margish and I feel it. I feel the suffering of another person. That's the idea, we brothers. Do we feel another person suffering, where you say, what was he doing anyway in that place? He's a settler, You know? Or do you start to read, who is this person? Who was he? What can I do? He tells a story about the Chazon Ish, excuse me, that he says the following quote, Sefer written about the Chazon Ish: I have pleasure when I'm able to bring joy to the hearts of other people. I feel it is my obligation to be careful not to cause any unpleasant nature to another person, even for 1 second. And is that for that reason they tell the story that the Chazon Ish would go for walks? He would not take his regular glasses. He was nearsighted. He would take glasses so he could be able to see everyone. He didn't need them. But he said, Chas v'shalom, somebody from afar would go, oh, it's the Chazon Ish, shalom aleichem. And he wouldn't see him. What would happen? The guy would feel bad. So he's margish it. He understands the way another person feels. This happens to us sometimes, right? How do we feel? When you live here in the land of Israel, there's a tremendous change, which is such a wonderful, amazing change. And that is that if somebody's stuck on the side of the road, you help the person. It's just a second nature. We had an incident last year, last Hanukkah. We were driving home from Eilat. Not wisely, I admit, a little bit too close to Shabbos. It's my fault, because I wanted to eat breakfast and take a nap after. And we were driving, and we felt the tire pop. Baruch Hashem, we were able to get to the side of the road. And as we look to the side of the road, we see we are on the side of the road of an Arab town. And, you know, we're not going to go to play politics now and say, well, it's really just Druze, maybe it's not. I never heard my kids quieter than at this time. And we pulled over, and Baruch Hashem, I've changed tires before. So I said, okay, what am I going to do? I said, okay, right now, you know, let's try to figure things out. Everybody stay in the car for right now. You got to figure things out, you know, try to remind myself how the tire goes. And not but maybe 20, 25 seconds after I start to get everything out of the car to change the tire, because, of course, we had all the luggage and how to get it, so I thought, underneath it, a car pulls up. The first moment, my wife thought she was in New York. She was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, who is it? And I'm like, ah, Chassid Hashem, thank God. Not only was it a nice Jewish person, it was a nice, firm person. Not only was it a nice, firm person who lived in Beit Shemesh, who spoke English, and who was a professional person who could change tires, and I just watched him. Chassid Hashem. Right? That's what happens. Right? If this happened in New York, she was right. It'd be like, oh boy. Right? Because that's the way a person... I had to take my daughter somewhere. So we're coming home from Yerushalayim yesterday, and there was a terrible accident. The car just flipped over. And I'm not a medical professional, and there were a lot of people on the side of the road trying to direct traffic. And my wife said to me after, how'd you not stop? You didn't stop? You didn't try to have... I said, what am I going to do? She's right. You're margish. You feel that? Oh, what the hell? This car turned over. There's got to be something I could do. That's the way a Jew has to react. We have to see. And this is all the parshas of Mishpatim, Rabbi Yisai. The laws of ribbis and the laws of lost objects. There's different laws because it's my brother. It's not that we're, you know, anachum nikrim banim lamakom. It's different. I'm sorry. Selam el kim devar adam. Chas v'shalom. We should ever think that every human being is not special and unique and has God within him. But when you're dealing with your own brother, your own sister, things are different. Everybody understands that. Right? You say, why are you showing favoritism towards your... He's my brother. What do you mean? And that's why a Jew shows favoritism towards his brother. Your brother has something. Of course you're going to help him out. But you have to be margishit. You have to care. You have to want to help because it's you. I don't understand. This is that innate nature we've spoken about a lot of times that we have to have. We have to always be thinking about. We have to always say to ourselves, something happens. And I have to say something. I actually think it's even harder when it's actual joy. To feel joy for another Jew, I think is even more of a challenge. Suffering. So we know how to suffer. We know how to feel bad. Although I've been to Shiva houses quite recently. I was at one. Generally, people ask the stupidest questions. I don't understand. How did he die exactly? He looks so good. I don't understand. How did he die? You want to explain it to you? You know. But in general, we know how to suffer. We don't understand. But joy? A lot of times, we can't be margish to the person's joy. Why? Because maybe we feel a little bit, why couldn't I have that? Why couldn't I get that? Why couldn't I get that job? Why couldn't I have such a son that did so well? Who cares what the other kids did on the test? you, my son, did... Oh, beautiful. Psh. This kid did Siyam HaShas. So the first thing I say is, why come my son didn't do Siyam HaShas? No, what an accomplishment. Wow. Amazing. I'm markish it. I feel your joy, mamish. No, I'm not going to say Tachlin today because I'm markish the joy of Rav Moshe's famous tshuva. That the whole shul doesn't say Tachlin for every minyan. Why? Because maybe Rav Moshe felt, yeah. Even though the bris is going to be at 7 o'clock this morning and I'm davening at 6 o'clock, I'm happy that somebody said, another baby's being brought to Yisrael. They decided to do a bris kodesh, bris shel Amram. I'm so excited. A chasin, another chorv of Yerushalayim is being rebuilt. I markish it. I feel the joy. I'm over to, how can I say Tachlin today? How can I say Tachlin? Maybe that's, you know, where the Hasidim come from. How can we? They're a little bit happier people. Maybe they feel it more. Do you understand what it means? Do you feel something? Yeah, maybe. You take upon yourself. You say, Bala, you go to the person. Who's the Chassan? Who cares what the Chassan is? We didn't say Tachlin. Chassan's not even here. The Chassan's not. To Margaret, you have to feel. With us feeling the pain and suffering and the joy of other people, so that's the ultimate. That's the v'ahavta kamocha. That's the connection that we're supposed to have. That every Jew is a brother. Every Jew is connected to us in such a very, very close and deep way. That ultimately is the ultimate point of the imitating the ways of Hashem. In both good and bad, we imitate the ways of Hashem because imitating the ways of Hashem will bring Mashiach Tzidkenu b'meheirah v'yameinu.